reports the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition, this hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report, where we're taking your calls. We're giving the first-time callers the actual... we're replacing them at the head of the line. We've got Tom, Jason, and who? William?
Tom, Jason, William.
Right.
I'm sorry, Tom, William, Jason, right. And Anthony are the first-time callers.
You guys...
And you got Dave and Troy...
All right, so we're going to get through this real quick. I want to tip my hat to Darcy W. sent an email. You know, we look at ourselves and we say, well, I can't, whatever reason. Again, I was speaking with Coach Dave Dobmar this morning, past Assault, PTSalt.com, and he was saddling for battle, going on his way to a location. I'm not sure if he's made it known, so I'm not going to give it out. But, you know, it's amazing because we can make up a lot of excuses and for not doing things. He said, I'm going to keep going until... But
he's talking about excuses, justifications. I'm the king of that.
Yeah. Hey, it's, you know...
it's cloudy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Darcy W. writes in, you know, this email is long overdue, and she thanks us for bringing Whole Tones to her, as well as the... guests and what have you, and I'm paraphrasing her from her email, but she said, you know, thanks for all that. Plus, she's got a slew of physical issues. In fact, they're so severe that they forced her to stop teaching preschool, and she's suffering from a number of ailments that, plus she's also caring for a family member, and, if you would read this email, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but there's any one of these reasons, any one of these situations would be the reason, would be a legitimate reason not to do anything, not to go out. Let me just say this here. The reason I'm bringing her up is this. She said, you know, she says she used to believe in the pre-trib rapture, but if I'm right, anything could happen before Jesus returns, of course, and it's not stupid to be ready for anything. And isn't that interesting, that insight, because it could be a storm, whatever. And again, she's got her hands full with a lot of things. She's on a fixed income as well. But here is... the bottom line with this. She, by the way, she was rear-ended in a car accident. Her back never recovered. Lost her vision in the process of trying to help her back issues. I mean, one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And she's writing, she's saying, you know, I was getting upset with myself because I didn't feel like I was adding anything to the kingdom. All right. So the Lord told me to use my time praying. Now, there you go. there you go. A prayer warrior. That's called reading your own mail. And God nudging you into that position and giving you an assignment and then completing the assignment despite the slew of adversity that you're facing. And I'm sure if she could, she would be side to side, shoulder to shoulder with Coach Dave. But she, given her situation, she says, okay, this is what I can do, and I'm going to do it. And God bless you, Darcy, for just that, for doing it. Now, if everyone of us did this, that's all we need to do. Folks, before we get to the calls, I just want to also mention a couple other things. I still have copies, the first edition of Stained by Blood here at my office, if you want. Just go to stainedbyblood.com, and on the top right there, you'll see where you can, or I'll send you a copy. You got to pay for it, though. I mean, I paid for it, so pay for the copies here. I'll personalize it to you and sign it and send it off to you. If you send me a request tonight, I'll get it out tonight or tomorrow or whatever. As soon as I get it, I'll send it out to you. I got enough here, I'm sure to handle any requests. And you know, if you've read it and if you like it, well, it doesn't matter if you read it and didn't like it. Go ahead and put a positive review on Amazon if you are so inclined. If not, wait a minute. Let me retract what I said. Honest review. Did I say, yes, an honest review, not a whatever you know. I mean, you have to be honest. If you didn't like it, well, I didn't like it. If you liked it, then go ahead and give an honest review. If I said positive, my apologies, because you can't do that. You can't solicit. You can't do that. And that was a slip in my, that was my language, or that was a slip in my tongue there. Honest review. I'm going to be on a radio show next week, out of Philadelphia, about the book as well. And I'll put something up on our social networking sites to let people know about that, more on that next week. And if anyone wants to arrange, and I was asked to announce this, and I don't like even talking about this, but if you want to arrange a presentation and a signing at your location, whether it be a church or whatever, go ahead and send an email to author relations. It's on standbyblood.com, and we'll consider that. I'll consider that. But standbyblood.com, and you go ahead and I can send you out a signed copy, personalized copy. And
can I just
otherwise,
hear you say what I think you did?
I don't know.
Did you just volunteer to go places?
Well,
and to meet people?
Yeah. There's a reason for that. There's actually a reason for that.
Okay.
It's there was a church that asked, somebody in the church asked me to, if I would speak for an hour and then, sign the books. And
I was going
to
say.
And I had to decline that, but then it's a long story. Okay. You know.
It's just rare to hear you volunteer.
Well, I know. I don't, you know something? It's really weird when you write a book. It's just so weird because you get...
Any Barnes & Noble invitation?
No, actually, it's not a Barnes & Noble. I don't believe.
Just kidding.
I've deliberately kind of...
I think it's a good idea.
Well, and you can also get the Kindle edition if you go to Amazon, if that's what you want. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. I had to point that out. I've got a publicist that's kind of asking me to say more about it. So anyway, there you have that. All right,
let's go back to the phones.
Let's do that.
Let's go to Tom, first time caller. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Tom? Is this on?
Originally from New York.
Hey, there
Tom
we
Hammond.
Go.
Yeah.
Tom, good to hear you.
Before. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay, good. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You just mentioned Coach Dave. By the way, hello, and thank you for allowing me to call in and speak with you.
And here I thought we had your number blocked. I really, Todd, I told you to block Tom's number, man. What the?
No,
I'm just kidding,
don't
Tom.
Block me. No.
I'm just kidding.
This
buddy.
Is my first time call. You know, my wife is away, so that's why I was able to do this tonight. You know,
usually
she gets home from work about 8:30, and I got to watch Dancing with the Stars with her or something. You know, so I really had a good opportunity tonight to do it. You know, but a couple weeks ago I was in Jackson, Mississippi. I went to a march there. It was the 50th anniversary of the first abortion bill passed in this country. It was around Mother's Day weekend 50 years ago in 1966. And so I went to this march. I live in Florida. I drove up there. And the night before they had, you know, like speakers, and they were very interesting, wonderful people, you know. The lady who runs it, Judah Myers, she is a child. Her mother gave birth to her after being raped by 8 men. Can you imagine? And I met many other people who, you know, were so grateful that they had their life, because their mothers could have easily aborted them and stuff. And these precious lives could have been snuffed out and never heard from. And meanwhile, the testimonies they give are just incredible. You know, they're God-loving, God-fearing people like you and me. And I met some people even there. They had some ladies who, with their little babies, who had been raped. And they decided to, you know, take the baby to term and keep their babies. I just think that's a wonderful thing. But anyway, the next day at the march, I was there and I was wearing that Coach Dave t-shirt that I got at the conference in Dallas back in March. And I see another guy wearing the exact same shirt. And
that's
I go
awesome.
Up to him, and he turns around, and sure enough, it's Coach Dave. So he's amazing. He goes everywhere, doesn't he?
He is on the front lines all of the time.
He really is. So anyway, I got to sit and talk with him for about a half hour after the speeches and stuff. And, wow, I tell you, what a great conversation. I was able to tell my story, give a little bit of my testimony and stuff, and I just was so, you know, blessed that day. You know, I was so happy I went. And I just wish that more people would get involved, because I'm starting to do this more. You know, I really am. My health hasn't been good. I've had a lot of heart problems. As a matter of fact, when I was at the conference in Dallas, I was speaking to your wife, Doug, and you were signing copies at the table, and I was asking her about her health. And she was telling me that she's doing well, and I was very happy to hear that. But I told her about me last year. I kept having not a lot of periods, not a lot of times, but my heart would stop, and it would stop for up to 8 seconds and stuff. And you know, so I'm sharing that, and you started looking at me like you were listening to what I was saying, and, you know, but, God is so good, and you know what, during those times...
I know who you are. I was listening. I know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Right? Yeah.
What's that?
Right. I thought you might. Yeah. So you signed my copy of the book I bought, which I loved, absolutely loved. And I will write a review on it, and I will send it in, I promise, when I get around to do the other 90 things that I have to do. You know?
Yeah, it's like we all have time, right? Yeah, I get that.
Exactly. Yeah, but sometimes my heart stopped. I never had such peace in my life. I mean, I didn't see anything. I didn't blacken out. One time I did fall down and knock my teeth out and split my lip. And people said, why don't you put your hands out, your arms out? I said, I don't know, because I really didn't know what was happening at the time. But God has been so good to me and stuff. But there's one other thing I wanted to talk to you about, is this Donald Trump phenomena. I'm just amazed at this. Now, I'm hearing all of these people screaming, he's not a conservative, you know, he's got to be a conservative. Conservative this, conservative that. But I like to ask everybody who's listening, what have the conservatives done for us in this country lately? Have they done anything?
That's a good point.
I mean, I just can't see it. I mean, abortion is just as bad as it used to be, right? Gay marriage now. I mean, now we have to worry about people coming in our bathrooms and stuff. Not that I worry about that much, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I have grandchildren and stuff, you know? So, I mean, I'm really troubled by this.
Are your grandchildren, here's what we all need to really take inventory of. Are our grandchildren, are those children, our progeny, are they going to curse at our graves and our legacy and the memory of us as Christians, as parents, as, you know, we are supposed to be protectors of our children. Have we done that?
No. I mean, you know, we certainly have tried. We really have. But I tell you, you know what? Our kids grow up in schools, public schools, where they're lied to. And I'm telling you, they are lying, because I've been studying evolution and creationism for years now, and how people can believe in evolution is beyond me. You know, I only got into this thing a couple of years ago when I found the show Prophecy in the News. And I just fell in love with that show, and that's where I heard of L.A. Marzulli for the first time. And I heard about the Nephilim, and I was so interested by it. I went online, and I heard this other guy, Trey Smith, and he had some great videos on Nephilim and other things like that. You've heard of him, haven't you, Doug?
Sure. Yeah. We both have.
So,
and people who are, who kind of roll their eyes at the Nephilim and giants and in Genesis 6, really need to understand the importance of that. And thank you for bringing that up, because that subject is so critical, so vital to the current days, current events. Please, folks, understand where it all fits in to this current events. I go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Continue.
No, that's okay. Tom, please, you know. My father was, but I'm, you know, I just turned 64. You know, for a year I had on my wig, but my phone was, "When I get older, losing my hair." You know, the Beatles, "When I'm 64, you know. Now I had to take it off. But other than that, I mean, and then I started getting into this whole movement, you know. I mean, really following this thing. And then I found you guys, and I started listening to you. It was about a year and a half ago, or even longer than that. I even met you at the conference in Orlando for the first time.
When I saw you in Dallas, I remember, sometimes I get names wrong, but I remember the faces. Wow.
I also saw you last year in Ohio at the Nephilim conference, you know. So I've met you a few times now.
I don't think we spoke at that, did we?
Yeah, we spoke at the Nephilim only for about 5 minutes. I was waiting on the line for the men's room, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
Shook my hand because it was before I went in, you know.
That's it. Well, wait a second.
You know,
I got to ask this now. Were you feeling like a guy then, or were you feeling kind of, was your feminine side coming out where you had to move to the women's? I got to know these things.
I tell you the truth. I don't have a feminine side. I'm sorry. You know, and I don't want one. I really don't, you know. It's hard enough being a man nowadays. It really is, you know. And, you know, where I live in Florida, I've been going to a church for a number of years, but, you know, I started listening to what everyone was saying and stuff. And, you know, I'm not saying that they don't preach truth in the churches. They do. But the fact is that they never touch on the Old Testament, on prophecy, on the beginnings, you know. And these kids, they leave our churches and they go out to college and they're ignorant. You know, and when these professors, these liberal professors, start handing them the lines about evolution and using these big words, these kids, they go, "Yeah, that sounds right," you know, and they just don't know how to stick up for themselves.
Our churches
are wrong. They don't teach the truth either. I mean, they teach the truth of Jesus, thank God. I mean, because let's face it, without Jesus, you know, there's nothing, you know? There's no hope. There's no peace, there's no joy, But we need to teach the whole truth, you know?
That's right.
And I feel very strongly about that. I really do. You know, I love to have a meeting with Donald Trump and say, Donald, you've got to start praying. You've got to start reading the Word. You have to start seeking God out. Because I don't know if he does those things. I can't say if he does or not. But thank God there are people that are surrounding him, like Ben Carson and even Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee would have been the best nominee, I think, of all.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Greg Jackson and Mike Huckabee are friends. And I've had the opportunity to have dialogue with Mr. Huckabee. And yeah, he's
that's great.
100%.
Yeah. I admire him a lot. I really do. You know that he sticks to it. He said he would even end abortion if he had become president. I believe he would have certainly tried. I don't see anyone trying in our government. I don't see anybody doing anything. And the reason why I support Trump, and I didn't start off supporting him. I ended up with him after following Cruz for a while, but then I saw all these people hating Trump and knocking him, and I started doing some homework and studying and listening to you guys and other guys, and I go, wow. You know, this is the guy I should be praying for and pushing, and I voted for him in the primaries down here in Florida. But, you know, a lot of people are looking at me, well, what? How could you vote for him? How could you do that, you know? But I really believe that, you know, we're on the right track with him. I just pray for him that he remains safe every day because I worry about him. I mean, look what they did to Kennedy years ago, right?
RFK as well. I mean, there's some parallels.
Prayers on
Martin Luther, yeah. You name it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's some parallels, but you know, they're not going to stop the movement that was unleashed by Trump, and that's what we're. No. I mean, that's what I'm looking at. Not the man, but the movement.
Yeah.
The collateral.
But
effect.
I mean, I even like what this guy, you know, one of these duck hunters, you know, the head guy. I don't even know his name, but. You know, he's really speaking out about this country really needs to get back to God. We all do. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is so important. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. I really believe God would do that for us, but if only his people. I'm not talking about the whole country. I'm talking his people. If all of us would really do that, I believe that God would do something. And maybe
that's
he
right,
is.
Tom.
Maybe he is, and that's what I have to hope for.
Brother, God bless, brother. You said
yeah,
so much.
I don't want to take up any more of your time. I'm just blessed that I got to speak my mind tonight. I appreciate you letting me do that. I have a habit of speaking too much. A lot of people tell me I talk too much. But I tell them, I'm from New York. What can I do, you know?
Hey, well, you know what? You only have a limited window before the missus gets home, so. All right, brother.
God bless you.
Next Tuesday, so I'm going to be in trouble, you know? You won't hear from me until she goes away the next time.
I don't know.
Anyway,
well,
it's a real pleasure. I really
God
appreciate
bless you.
You guys. I really do. And God bless
thank
you both.
Tom.
Really,
thanks,
I mean
man.
That. Thank you for
God
talking.
Bless, man.
God bless you, too. Thanks for the prayers and all the support.
Yeah, and I remember Tom. I do. I remember him talking to my wife, and I remember looking at him, and I was thinking to myself, wow, heart-stopping. Yeah, go on.
William from Virginia, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's going on?
Hey. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, too. So I just want to give praise to God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus Christ. And I know you're all believers, so I feel like I'm really surrounded by like-minded folks. Pretty much, I really don't know what I was going to discuss with you guys. So first off, I would like to just say, you know, after hearing some of the other callers, you know, and the back and forth about, you know, pre-trib, tribs, and whatnot, and I had my 2 cents that I think can contribute to everyone else.
Well, you know, in the context of our discussion tonight, we need to prepare. And it would be foolish to me, at least, regardless of what your doctrine beliefs, doctrinal beliefs are, if you're pre-trib rapture, you know, can we not, or should we not think about others? If that's your doctrine, that's fine. But should we not think about others that who will be left behind? Or what, you know, what about the hedge of protection, even through storms, natural disasters, things that's unplanned.
With the pre-tribulation belief, regardless where you stand on that issue, we need to, one, be the example that Christ said we need to be, love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and continue to figure out how to best do that while we are still on this earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
That's right.
Yeah, so I won't get into too much detail about it. I do think it is important to prepare. You know, God told Noah to prepare in a way, and I also think that when it comes to whatever the discrepancies are between all believers, we have to be in one accord. And as far as, you know, the fundamentals are involved, six comes before seven. So I do believe that the false Christ is going to show his face first prior to the true Christ. So we have to be mindful of that in order not to be deceived. And I'll leave it at that. You know, we're living in a time now where it's drawing closer and closer to what Christ talked about in Matthew 24, you know, the days of Noah. The way the governments of the world are collaborating and trying to implement a system where everyone is tied to it. That's the beast of Revelation. That is the beast of Revelation, that it's not a person, place, or thing. It's a system. And that's why being prepared, whether it's pre, post, or in the middle of the trip, we have to be prepared, because we, as Christians, one, we're going to stand morally against the world when it turns against us. And secondly, we have to be prepared to live and fend for ourselves, if that be the case. And, you know, I am born and raised in Virginia. I'm a local. My family, like my mother and father, they're Puerto Rican and Colombian. And so, you know, with the politics and stuff, you know, politicians are men. And I definitely support men who have the same values that we do as Christians and Americans. At the same time, we have to also trust that God will lead them in the right place. And if we get a leader that keeps us in the fight, then amen, all power to God. But if it's time for us to stand and be separate from the world, then amen, all power to God. And
absolutely,
you know, what I feel God has moved me, you know, 4 years ago during the last Obama election, that's when I personally was pulled out of the matrix. God woke me up like the flick of the wrist, and I truly believe that my personal agenda that God is going to use me in his plan, his gigantic plan, is to be a witness to the revival, not just in America but all over the world, because we focus very often on our own country, but our brothers and sisters they're in the trenches right now. And I want to bring light to that, because sometimes we're drawing close to a point where we have to stand, you know, like right now the bathroom issue in North Carolina, but now the Obama administration wants to apply it, you know, unilaterally to all K-12 schools. Next fall, prior to the election, we're going to be looking at a whole nother country. Like we're being changed dramatically from the election to who you side with, what your values are. We're in the middle of chaos, and we have to stand strong, stand in the spirit of God, and be led by him and not by our emotions. And if I may, I definitely love to drop the website. My cousin and I, it's like a brother to me, we run a ministry. I'm 33 years old. And I thank God that he's pulled me out of the world so that I can be a light to the others that are close to me. You know, and if he uses me to save one soul, then he's done his job.
That's right.
With your permission, I'd love to drop the website if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Please. It's GN4G GN. So it's Greg Nancy, the number 4, gregnancy.com. And we have a blog, a website, and a YouTube channel. And, you know, the other gentleman you spoke to from Florida, he was talking about the Nephilim in the days of Noah. And my cousin and I and another brother of ours, we got together, wrote some rhymes together, we produced our own music, and we made a music video. And I think it's substantial because people can visualize, like we talked about the ancient megaliths all over the world, and the scripture about what the Bible says about the giants and the Nephilim and the Rephaim. So I think if anyone has the opportunity, please check it out, share it. Let's wake our other brothers and sisters up.
That's okay. GN4GN.com?
That is correct, yes.
Well, no, you, William, you better say it again. GN4.
GN.com. Greg okay. Nancy 4, GregNancy.com.
Okay, you know what, Joe? I didn't believe you when you said that.
Yeah, I've done that extra GN. GN4, GN.com. All right. Look forward to checking that out, William.
All right, buddy.
Hey,
Thank you, man.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, guys. And God bless you and everybody, and continue doing the work. The Watchmen of God.
You too.
Appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
All right, next we are going to go to Jason in Florida. And after Jason, Anthony, Troy, and Dave.
All right, Jason.
You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
You be up.
Yes. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Hey. What's on my mind? Well, there's a lot going on in the world today. We already know that. But I'm just calling right now for a prayer request.
All right.
I've been homeless for... basically off and on for the last couple of years. And, I'm a disabled vet. And I have a job. I'm not jobless or jumping from job to job. I've had the same job consistently for 4 years, and I've been down here in Florida for 8 years. But for some reason I'm not getting it all right.
Jason, if I can. I'm not sure how often you listen to the show, but we do have several callers who are going through the exact same thing that you are going through, homelessness.
How did you become homeless, Jason? I mean, I'm just, and you don't have to share. I mean, share as much as you want, but how'd that happen?
Well, it's actually difficult because I'm looking back at everything that I've done and all the mistakes and things that I thought I did right and later found out that wasn't right. I'm not entirely sure. I looked for jobs that were better paying if I could and never got a call back from any of them. I've worked, even lower paying jobs, 60, 70 hours a week. Whenever I could or working two jobs. And now I've got a full-time job still. It's not minimum wage. It's a little bit more, but, it's not enough to be able to afford a place to live and a car. It's not that I'm lazy. I mean, I've gotten a lot of compliments on my work and everything. Just there's no promotion or raise or anything else involved. But I just need a prayer. I'm going through the Voc Rehab program. There's a veterans program for veterans that are disabled from the military. And it took me a while to get in there. It took me about a year of sending in letters over and over and over and over again. But finally, I got through. And so I'm starting a program this fall. I'll be starting college. Not sure if I'll have a place to live by then, but at least I'll be in the door working towards something else. And I'm not looking to get rich in my life. That's not my goal. My goal is I don't want to be a burden to those who I love and who love me. And I don't want to be a burden to anybody else. I want to be able to be a help to other people. That's about it, really. I just, whatever God's will is, maybe he has the will to keep me out here for some reason. Who knows? But whatever that reason is, I want it to be his will, and to, if he could give me some reassurance that this is what he wants, or if there's something shortcoming in me that I need to fix, to reveal it to me so that I can handle it. And I can't do it on my own, obviously. I've screwed it up. But I would definitely humble myself for him to work in my life. That's it. Just a prayer request.
Yeah, we will ask our audience to keep Jason from Florida, a vet, in their prayers. And as you said, Jason, you just never know what God has in store for you, what he needs you to do, where he needs you to be. You might be in the position right now that he wants you to be in for a specific person that is yet to be revealed. I would just continue That's to pray true. And continue to be in the Word and the Scripture, and to ask the Lord for guidance, and to show you what he, you know, show you what his will for you is. And as long as you're doing that, you're doing what's right, and that's all that you can do.
Good.
Prayer request asked and answered, and we all ask for Jason, prayers for Jason. And Jason, I do believe whatever you're dealing with, you can overcome. And I think that we all need to really, it starts with ourselves, within ourselves. It starts with repentance. It starts with, really, as Joe said, I mean, just subjugating yourself to the will and the word of God. And I know the hardest times, the most difficult times in my life, and this might not have any effect on you at all, but I know I look back, the most difficult times of my life is when I didn't listen to what I was being instructed to do by God, I believe. Because had I done so, it would have been a lot easier. It's kind of like not listening to your dad or your mom. You know, you think you know better, and you're going to make your own way. And suddenly you realize, wait a minute, boy, how intelligent. You got to listen to that, the Spirit, and you got to just humble yourself before God, and then, you know, stand up, dust yourself off. Tomorrow's a new day.
That's true.
You know, and we will hold you up in prayer.
Yes.
Well, you're the first time.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, 100%.
You're a first time caller, but you're not going to be a last time caller. I'm going to tell you. We want to keep updates. You update us, because I'm going to follow you.
I'll update you guys.
Because it's important.
I'm going to keep fighting. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop.
No.
I've been on the street without a car before. I had another car before this, and the axle broke, and I was on the street.
Yeah.
And it's a very long story, but.
Well, you know, and
I have to look at it, and I just don't know. You know.
We all have.
You got to work with what you have.
Yeah. Yeah. And. We all have, we've all been going through and have gone through things that seemingly are so insurmountable that, you know, we have to realize that we're not in this alone. And that's when we have to embrace the word and love of Jesus in our lives. And I'd never thought I'd ever say that on air, because to me that's a sign of weakness, or was a sign of weakness, but not anymore. So. But Jason, God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing this.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate everything
all right, brother.
You do.
All right. God bless.
Thank you.
Right. Have a good night, Jason.
Yeah.
We're going to go next to Anthony in Arizona.
Arizona.
Another first-time caller. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Talk Hello. To us, Anthony. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Well,
I'm the first-time caller. Hello?
Well, cool. Yeah, what brings you to call this first time tonight? What brings you to call?
Well, I've been listening to you guys for about 3 years now, and I just called. It's funny when you're on the other end, everybody talks and you're waiting, and you get on, you go, "Who was I going to talk about?" Because you're listening to everybody else talk. But that's why I know the gentleman just called us, want him to know that I was praying for him when he was talking. I tell him, you know, I feel for him, and I know in my own life I've seen how Jesus and the Holy Spirit worked in my life. I've been through a lot of rough times, and through health problems.
scars, whether they're scars. Actual or emotional, they may tell you where you've been, or they tell you where you've been. They serve as a reminder of where you've been, but certainly they don't necessarily have to tell you where you're headed. So that's just my sage saying, their adage saying, I guess.
Like I said, I mean, I've seen the Lord work in my life with the Holy Spirit, and I've gone through my own health crises, and there's a time in my life when I couldn't even walk for 3 years, and then all of a sudden a miracle happened, and a certain doctor came. Now, I found him, of course, but I found him through somebody else when I had no hope, and it took me another couple years of recovery just to get back on my feet. So, but this was, I saw how Jesus worked with the Holy Spirit in my life, and I really, truly got to say, this last couple of months, I felt a lot of love from the Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit moving in my life, because I know the world is becoming dark, and everything's flipped upside down, and I know God's people are being activated this time, and I know that the 144,000 know who they are. And we're living some interesting times, and, you know, God is love, pure love, oneness, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I've seen how it moved in my own life, and I see how it works, and it's very mysterious. And it's it really is, when you can read the signs because you're moved by the Spirit, it's unbelievably just beautiful. It's love. And anybody out there struggling and suffering, sometimes there's a reason for it, you know. Sometimes when you're going through it, you say, how can this be, you know?
Yep.
But there's a plan for all of us, and we have to there's a plan for us, and God works in mysterious ways, and he uses all of us, you know. And so
that's right. You're 100% on the money, Anthony. And you know, we can all make a difference. And here you are, 3 years not walking. Was that from an accident, illness, or?
Yeah, well, I got in an accident, and I had a back surgery, and the doctor did the wrong surgery, and he put a device in my body, and it failed, and it was just excruciating, the most pain. I mean, I felt like I was just being crucified, really.
Oof.
And it was awful, and everybody turned away from me. Everybody turned away. My fam, you know, my parents, and, you know, I was basically, you know, lost my job, and...
Why would they turn away from you, Anthony? Why? Because you were a burden?
I just don't think they knew how to handle it. You know, my family was always kind of family that, it seems like, I guess, when the tough got going, they couldn't handle it. And
interesting.
But okay. The good thing is, but what I'm saying, but you know, at the same time, I met somebody that came into my life, my love, you know, my girlfriend. We call each other, she's like my wife, you know. I haven't really had time to get married, but we're committed, like, you know, husband and wife. And she really, she saved my life. She was like an angel. And that's how I seen how God worked, to get me to where I'm at, to wake me up, because I'm awake, and I see what's going on, and I can see a little bit differently than a lot of people. I see more spiritually. I'm more spiritually minded, and I always have been my whole life. That's why I was strange what I went through, because I worked in a hospital. I was an ultrasound. I took the people's hearts for a living. I was a cardiac sonographer, and I help people. So it was interesting when this all happened to me, because I used to give a lot of love in the hospital, a lot of love to people. I used to listen to them, sit there when I was even younger. I used to sit in the hospital with the patients and listen to them, the older people, and they had nobody, because I felt their pain. I could always feel. It's kind of like when Jesus would say, you see yourself in others. Well, I experienced that. I had that from a young age, and I always felt for people. I could see people walking down the hall, and I could tell that they're I could see the pain in them. You know, the fear, whatever was going on, I could read it, you know, and I can still do that to this day. So I've experienced some, a very spiritual person I am, you know, and I know we're living in a very difficult time, but this is the time like no other. This is Noah. This is build your ark. It's coming, you know, and everybody, but I know everybody's, you know, being merry and no one wants to hear anything negative. You see anything negative, they get all, they it's like they, their mind closes up on them. They just can't handle a little talk about anything serious or anything that might not be fun. And we're living in that time where we have to prepare spiritually, but we should always prepare it spiritually, because God wants his people to want God. He wants to be our God, but we have to want him to be our God. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
100%.
And you know, God is love. People think the punishment only would come when they're just everybody, there's no love. If there's no love, that's not what God is. It's how are you going to make it to heaven? How are you going to be on the new earth or the new Israel? He can't let sinners, he can't let the goat in. He wants love to come in. He wants people that will sacrifice for others. That's what he wants. He wants you to see others as you see yourself. That's what this is all about. Do unto others as you want done unto yourself, but see yourself in others. And that's what people don't. It's just, what can they get from everybody?
Exactly.
And
it's not the
desire is destroying in this world. This fleshly desire, you know, I know what's going on with the transgender. It's just all fleshly desire. And they're twisting this thing from something that was supposed to be beautiful and love into something perverted and exorcist kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you know, as you said, I don't want to be misquoted here. It's not the Christ consciousness. It's the Christ mind, the Christ-like mind of
I'm not talking about
selflessness. No, you were right. I mean, you were right on the money.
Yeah. No, I'm just talking about what God is, though. People, I don't think they realize this is love, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one union, all love. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all love. I felt it. It's love. It's beautiful. But you have to forgive others. Yeah, listen, I had to do a lot of forgiving in my life. But once I forgave, first of all, I repented and I felt terrible about it. It has to be real. It can't be something that comes out of your lip. It has to be something inside your heart. And when that happens, and then you forgive the ones that hurt you, and you forgive yourself for hurting others, boom. Now you just connected, and now you just made it, and now you're communicating with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Then they come into your life, because now you've changed. You've turned everything. You turned this thing that turned you upside down, you turned yourself back right where you should be. Forgiveness and love, and see yourself in others. And that's how I done it. And that's when my life started to get better. As soon as I had that forgiveness, I repented really deeply. That's when my body started to heal. That's when I seen the Holy Spirit move in my life. I'm just telling you what happened to me. And it's really beautiful.
I hope that serves as an inspiration to others. And I want to thank you for your time and your call
thank
tonight.
You. I appreciate it. And thanks for all the years you kept me company. I mean it.
Well, thank you for listening, thanks. Anthony. God bless you. Have a great night.
God bless you guys.
We got to move on as we are getting near the end of the show.
Yes.
And
trying to finish round out the callers here.
I don't think we're going to do that.
You know what? We apologize for the first time callers on the line. We apologize for everyone holding on the line.
I think Dave and Troy were on there. But we just wiped out.
There was a Tom, there was a Nancy, the first time callers. We just lost our entire connection on the phone lines. We apologize for that.
Yeah, we have about 5 minutes left anyway. So next week, guys, next Wednesday.
Well, this proves up. See, what we just did proves that open lines are like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, right?
I want to hit this piece of news. I saw this during the last break.
Yep.
And I wasn't sure if it was real or not, so I had to search the headline. Obama appoints man who identifies as a woman
to Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships Council. Now, understand, this is part of the Agenda 21, UN Vision 2030, the post-2015 Sustainable Development Goals, the Faith-Based Partnership Initiatives, the Strong Cities Initiative, all tied together. Now, the president has, or Barack Obama, has appointed a man who identifies as a woman to serve on the advisory council of a faith-based neighborhood partnership. The man, who goes by the name of Barbara Satan, is a veteran of the United States Air Force, formerly served on the United Church of Christ Executive Council. Barbara Satan.
That surname is,
the man
is legitimate.
Goes by the name Barbara Satan.
Is that surname a birth surname, or is that
they
something
don't
that
lists the real name in this article?
Of course. Why would they dig deep into something like that?
And
right?
This is ChristianNews.net.
Hey, my name is Doug Lucifer.
It says Satan was raised by his mother and father, died just over a year after Satan was born.
Mr. and Mrs. Satan, table for two.
At age 54, Barbara took early retirement and began to explore more fully her transgender identity. Satan's biography outlines, with the support of her children and a knowledgeable therapist, whoever Barbara was, Barbara became to understand that her transgender identity was how God made her, rather than being a curse. It could be a blessing in her life. As a way to more fully explore her identity, she moved out of the family home to live full-time as Barbara Satan. He left his Roman Catholic upbringing for the United Church of Christ, since Roman Catholicism does not affirm transgender lifestyle. Satan is now involved in a number of homosexual and transgender advocacy groups and was invited to the White House earlier this year to speak with the president in the administration on housing issues for seniors who identify as homosexual or transgender.
Can you see that?
Like, for seniors.
See White House log, you know, Satan for Obama. I mean, okay.
Satan currently serves as Assistant Faith Work Director for the National LGBTQGSYZ Task Force. Thursday, Obama announced his intent to nominate 11 individuals to various administrative posts. Satan was included in the list as a member of the Advisory Council on Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships.
Well, you know, here it is. Truth is stranger than fiction. And I, having gone through my own iteration of that, I can understand that. I mean,
and we don't even know the half of it yet.
Exactly. You know, Mark Lane. How many know Mark Lane? Ring a bell?
I talked to him today.
Well, if you did, it was a long distance call because he has passed away at age 89. I saw him in.
I don't know who he is. I was just joking.
Mark Lane was. He was a defense lawyer. He was a social activist, author. He wrote the book I think that started it all on the Kennedy assassination back in the mid 60s, where he said that Oswald could not have acted alone in killing President Kennedy at the time. And I saw him in 1975 at Penn State, and he was an author, passed away at age 89.
I got to correct this. It's Barbara Satin, not Satan. I apologize.
Remedial grammar class or what? What do you need?
I don't know. I don't know what I was seeing. Maybe I was seeing what I...
See, and isn't that interesting, too? Because, yeah, we need to be very careful.
Thanks, Rhonda, and thanks, you guys.
Well, regardless, the fact is you've got this confused individual, and is this under the guise of some sort of, you said faith-based, right?
Oh yeah, it's what this is the faith-based initiative. It has to do with housing, and it is Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnership Council. The Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnership Council is appointing this Barbara
Satin.
Satin. I was just about to say satin. Yeah.
Well, all right. So there it is. There it is. Folks, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. Please tell a friend about this program. Spread the word, Facebook, social media, whatever it takes. Let's
thank
get the
you
word
for your
out.
Prayers. We thank you for your support, your time you spend listening, the emails, the mail.
Absolutely.
Everything you guys.
We're going to be back with you tomorrow, 7 o'clock, straight up Eastern time.
Ted Gore on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. And tomorrow, I got something special for you tomorrow. Just hang in there.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.